God to Luke 10. Luke 10 and verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. And this is a story of the Samaritan. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this story, but it's called the Good Samaritan. It's one of my favorite parts or portions of the Bible, the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritans, back in those days, they were despised. They're not Jewish. They were half Jewish and half Gentile. So from other countries, they came over to Jerusalem, to Israel, and they settled in the land and they married Jewish people. And they were half Jew and half Israelites and half Gentile. And they're called Samaritans. And they were despised. They were not appreciated by the Jewish people in that area, in that day. They were not loved. They were outcasts. They were looked down upon. And so they had a certain area north of Jerusalem. They were settled in that area, just north in Jerusalem, a certain area. And this story here is about the Good Samaritan. It kind of seems like almost like a contradiction in those days, because they didn't think Samaritans were good. They were no good. But and basically, the amazing part about this story is the Lord Jesus Christ himself is calling himself a Samaritan. The Lord Jesus Christ is basically saying, I'll identify myself as a Samaritan. So the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven, the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who created all things. He came down to this scene as a man, and he said, you know, in this story here, he said, you know what? I'll be a Samaritan in this story. So he tells a story to these religious people, to these Pharisees, and a lawyer here. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, so they're always tempting the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees, the religious people, were always against Jesus. So religion, false religion, is always against Christ. It's always against the Lord Jesus. It's always after him. It's trying to destroy him. It's trying to trip him. Pharisees or Sadducees or lawyers or the scribes, they're always after Christ. They don't like true Christianity. They don't like the Lord Jesus. They want their religion. They want their religion to rule Judaism. They wanted the Pharisee religion they had. They made up their own religion. They're strayed away from God, and they made up their own religion. And Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, came along, and all of a sudden, he taught them differently. He taught them things that they didn't agree with. They didn't like it. They said, you're of the devil. They said to the Lord Jesus, said, you're of Satan. You're a prince of the devil. And here they're questioning. They're trying to trip him up in this story here. And it says here, Luke 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, tempting Christ, trying to trip him up. And it says, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He says, what shall I do to get into heaven? What shall I do? And it says, he said unto him, what is written in the law? The Lord Jesus Christ says, what is written in your book? Because the Lord Jesus Christ didn't make up his own thing. He basically went off what they had, the existing Bibles they had. The Lord Jesus Christ said, look in your book, in the law. What does it say there? And he said unto him, the lawyer said, verse 27, and he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with everything in you. And with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. With everything in you, you should love God. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So love your God, love your... So that's the law says that. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. He says, you have answered right. That's true. This do, and you shall have life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you do that, and you'll have life, to this lawyer. And then the lawyer said, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? The lawyer said to the Lord, who is my neighbor? He didn't like this. He tried to justify himself. He said, who is my neighbor then? You know, like, he's trying to get out of this thing. And basically, this first section here is, this first part is telling us what we need to do to get eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to do something, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to love God with everything in you. Everything. And we can't do that. We're sinners. So Lord Jesus Christ is basically telling his men, "By you should know you can't do this. You're lost. And you can't love your neighbor as yourself. There's no way you can love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And you cannot love your neighbor as yourself. You will fail." So basically, the first part is, if you want to get into heaven by being good, by doing good works, do this. But then the second part of the story, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling this lawyer how to get into heaven the real way. The Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes down and saves sinners. He comes down. It says, in the Bible it says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Because we cannot follow the law. The law, the Ten Commandments, are not there to check mark. You shall not lie, check mark. I never did that. We can't say that, check mark. We can't follow all the commandments and get into heaven. I used to think that. I used to think the Ten Commandments were there to show me. I try to live by the Ten Commandments. I try to do all these commandments. I try to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, strength. And I try to do my neighbor as myself. And if I do that to a certain level, if I obey the Ten Commandments, maybe kind of obey the Ten Commandments, maybe just a little bit obey them, because I know I lie, I know I steal, I know I do these bad things, dishonor my parents, but if I do some of it, kind of okay, some of the commandments, God's going to let me into heaven maybe one day. And that's not what the commandments are for. That's not what the Ten Commandments are for. They're not there to get us into heaven. Do these commandments and you will go into heaven. That's not what the commandments are for. The commandments show us God's holy standard, God's goodness, God's holiness. It shows us, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not look with lust, thou shalt not hate somebody, thou shalt not, you shall obey your parents, honor your father and mother, and so on and so forth. So we fail. We look at the commandments and we see we're sinners. We look at the commandments and say, I'm a sinner. The commandments are like a mirror. So when you have a mirror, you look at a mirror and it's dirty. You can see you're dirty. Your face is all muddy, full of mud, filth. And you have to go to the water. You have to go to water to wash yourself. The mirror cannot help. The mirror cannot clean you. Cannot help you. The water can clean us. And so the Ten Commandments show us, it's like a mirror, it shows us we're dirty. It shows us we're sinners. The Bible says all of us are sinners. For all, in Romans 3 verse 10 it says, for all have sinned. We've all sinned. And we all fall short of God's heaven. We all fall short of heaven. No matter how good we are, one person is maybe a little bit better than the other person, or a little bit better than the other person. God's standard is this high as the heavens. Some of us are maybe a little bit better than other people, but we're still not good enough. We're still sinners. And the Bible says, one sin will keep us out of heaven. One sin will keep us out of heaven. Only one. So no sin can get into heaven. We must have no sin, nothing, no sin in us. Absolutely gone, all our sins. And all of us have sinned. So we say, what do we do? How do I get into heaven? I have no hope. The Bible says we're all on the broad road. The broad road leads down. This road goes down. We were born sinners. We come out of mommy's belly, and we start walking, and we say no. The first words, some of the first words we say is no, no. And we stamp, and we get angry, and we have a bad attitude right from a little child. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. We go down the road, down, down, down. We get worse and worse and worse and worse. But we're sinners. So we need a Savior. So here the second story, the Lord Jesus is telling us what he will do for us. It says here, and Jesus answered, verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. A certain man, that man is us. That's like as a picture of the human family, the whole human family, whether you're from Russia, Ukraine, Mexico, Winnipeg, all over the world, we are all the same. We're all sinners. It says, and all over the world, we look all over the world and there's prisons all over the world, prisons, not just in Winnipeg, not just in Mexico, not just in Ukraine, not just in Poland, all over the world, big prisons where very, very bad people are, murderers, all over the world, all over China, Japan, all over, the whole world is full of prisons. What, lots of sinners, lots of, we're all the same family. We all are sinners. And here it says, and Jesus knows this, and he says to these people, he says to them, a certain man, that's us. In this story, he's just talking about a person, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is the blessed city. Jericho is the cursed city. He's going down. He's going from Jerusalem down to the city called Jericho. It's a picture of us. When we're born, we go down, down in sin, more and more sin. And fell among thieves. He fell among robbers, thieves. The thieves were waiting for him to ambush him and to attack him. And they grabbed him and they started hitting him. And they abused him. And they stripped him of his clothes. They ripped all his clothes off. Maybe he had expensive clothes. And they ripped his clothes off. They ripped everything off him. And there he was stripped. And they wounded him. They didn't only strip him, but they wounded him. They hurt him. And it says, and departed, leaving half dead. Then they left him, leaving there. He was almost dead. He was laying there in unbelievable agony. He would have died. They wounded him really badly. He would have died, half dead. And it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest. So all of a sudden, the man is lying there groaning and in unbelievable pain. And all of a sudden, wow, look, a person's coming to help. That's normally what somebody's there in very, very bad shape, in pain. Look, there's somebody coming. And look, it's a priest. That's the best thing. It's a religious man. Yes, he's for sure going to help this man. He's religious. He's a priest. He's not just any person. He's the priest. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw the man, the priest looked at the man. Wow, look, he's dying. He's dead, almost dead. He looked, and what does it say? He passed by on the other side. The man is lying over there, that ditch maybe, the road, the ditch. He's going over there. As far away as he could. The man's over there. He's dying, almost dead. Look, a man. Gone. Priest's not going to help him. And then it says, and likewise a Levite. A Levite came. He's not a religious person. A Levite. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So no matter what religion it is, many religions in the world, this religion or that religion. This guy says my church is right. This church says my church is right. This religion says my religion's right. This religion says my religion's right. They all, that's what people do. But they can't help. They cannot help the man. Religion cannot help us. Cannot help us. And it says here, but a certain Samaritan. That's the difference, a Samaritan. So these Jewish people are listening. They're listening to the story. A priest, a Jewish priest is coming. He cannot help. A Levite is coming. He cannot help. Religion cannot help. The two religious people. But also the Samaritan. A Samaritan. The despised Samaritan. People didn't like Samaritans. These people are listening. They did not like the Samaritans. And Jesus said, a certain Samaritan came. As he walked, he journeyed, he came to where he was. The Samaritan came to right to where the person was. He saw the man there. And when he saw him, he looked. He had compassion. Compassion is like sympathy, deep sympathy in his heart. Compassion for the man. He cared for the man. That's the Lord Jesus. He cared. His heart went out towards this man. Wow. And it says, and he went to him. He didn't go around there, over there, see you later. You know, I got business. I got stuff to do. I mean, it's one thing to care, to have compassion for somebody. and then just go away. That's not real compassion. But real compassion does something. He saw him. He had compassion on him. And he came to him. Write down. It says here, he went to him and bound up his wounds. He took him and grabbed him and started helping him, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and his own animal. He went off the animal. He put this wounded person, the animal, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, he took him to the inn, and the Lord Jesus Christ, or this Samaritan, took care of this man in the inn. And then he said, and whatever thou spendest more, take, and he said to the people at the inn, at the hotel, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pennies, or a certain amount of money, and gave them to the hotel, or to the host. He gave it to them, this hospital, and said unto him, take care of him. He said to these people, take care of this man. Take care of him. I want this man to make sure he's taken well care of. I help them as much as I can. But take you people, he entrusted the care of this person to these other people. Take care of him. It's like a picture of the church. It's like a picture of the real Christian church, where God, the Lord Jesus Christ, saves sinners. Every day, all over the world, he saves sinners. He saved me 20 years ago. He saved me from my sins. Over 20 years ago, I was saved. And Jesus wants us, he doesn't just leave us by ourselves, fending for ourselves. He wants us to be with believers, other believers who've been saved, Christians. He wants us to be together and to take care of each other, other people to take care. He says, take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So there he has a story. So there's 2 situations here. The first one is trying to get into heaven by good works. We cannot do that. We cannot get into heaven by good works. The other one is God looks down at us. He sees us. He sees sinners. He sees we are going down. He knows we've all done bad things. We're like waiting. We're all like in a prison. There's all these prisons all over the world. But the earth, planet earth, is like a big prison. It's like a big prison. We're all waiting for death. We're all waiting for execution. We're all waiting to be incarcerated. Incarcerated means to be jailed, put into jail. We're all going to come before a judge. When a person goes into a prison, they wait in there till their sentence is fulfilled. There's a prison in the future. It's called hell and the lake of fire. In that picture there. If we die, see a pillar of death? That's the scariest thing for the human family, is death. Because after death, there's judgment. We meet God. The Bible says it is appointed. We have an appointment. We have a meeting with God. We have a meeting with God. And that meeting can be a happy time. That meeting can be a very joyful time. No fear. If our sins are gone, if our sins are all forgiven, we can be happy. But if our sins are not forgiven, it's a very scary thing to meet God after death. It says there is appointed. We have an appointment with, well, there's appointment unto man once to die. All people across the globe, their appointment, and then the judgment. Then God's going to judge us if our sins are not forgiven. So we're all kind of waiting. And we're all busy in life. We're all doing different things. We're doing construction jobs. We're doing different things, electrician or doctor or truck driver. We're all working. We're all busy. We feel free. We're in a free country, Canada. We're doing our own thing. But really, if we're not free from our sins, we're not free. We're in chains. We're in bondage. We need to be freed from our sins, because Canada cannot offer us freedom from our sins. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give us freedom, real freedom. Real hope, the real country, the best country, the future hope. Because Canada, maybe things are good in Canada. Maybe there's certain freedom, but it's only for a short time. It's only for a short little time here. Maybe some of us 10 more years, maybe some of us 20 years, 30 years. It's very short time of enjoyment and pleasure and whatever we do. But for all eternity, forever and ever, millions and millions of years, we can be free. We can be forgiven. All our sins can be gone. And in 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ came. And I got a story here to tell about about this paraglider. There's a guy who was coming down. It's a picture of my salvation, of how I got saved. He came down from down in Miami, Florida. He jumped out of an airplane and he came down paragliding. Just gliding down. And he's looking down. He's looking down at everything. It's beautiful down there. And all of a sudden he looks down and there's a canal. A canal is like a waterway, a river. But concrete on this side, across, going up. And a vehicle was driving and he fell down into the waterway. And he was in the water, a woman. And the car was going down, it was sinking. And he's paragliding down, he looks, he sees the woman down there. He's the only one who could see her. Nobody could see her because the wall, the concrete wall, was very high. And she was down there. And he could come down and he looked and he said, what am I going to do? It's very dangerous. There's like rocks over there, rocks. There's a hydro pole, a hydro, electrical line, electrical thing going across, fencing, jagged edges, bumps. It was very dangerous for him to go over there. He was supposed to glide over there in a nice grass, a nice hill. But he saw down there, nobody could help them. You know? And that's a picture of this story here. That's kind of how I was. Nobody could help me. Nobody could help this person here. And this guy decided, he could have said, I can see it, but I'm not going to help. And he could have gone over there. And that would have been, a lot of people would have done that. But this man, he was a Christian actually. And he looked down, he's like, I got to go there. Even if I might die, I'm going to go save him, or save her. So he glided down there and between the hydro lines, and he came down, he jumped out, and he ran down, and he basically reached over with a rope. I think he had a rope. I'm not sure how he got this lady out. But she had to let go. She was holding on to her car. She was outside a car. The car was sinking. The car was going down. She was holding on to the car with both hands, and he said, let go. Grab my rope. And she didn't want to let go because she was in there for so long that she was so scared. She didn't want to let go of this thing. That's kind of how we are. We don't want to let go of our sins. We don't want to let go of our whatever it is. We don't want to let go. We're so used to this. But this person said to her, let go. If you don't let go, I cannot save you. So she just let go of it, of the car. And she grabbed the rope and he pulled her out and he saved her. And he's the only one who could save her. And that's kind of this same story here. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could save her. Religion cannot save her. Religion couldn't help her. Religion just makes you more fearful. Because religion tells you about hell. So atheists don't believe in God at all. A lot of times they don't believe in God or they don't. But religion tells you about God. Religion tells you about heaven. Religion tells you about hell. Religion tells you about the Bible stories, but it doesn't tell you how to be saved. It tells you your sickness, religion. It tells you how sick you are. I grew up in a religion. It told me how sick I was. I was very sick. They told you we're sinners. We told you God's going to judge you. We told you we might maybe go to hell. And very scared religion. You know, they told you all the things about the Bible, but they gave you no hope. It's like saying somebody, you got cancer. Or you got you're going to have a heart attack. But they don't give you no hope, no cure. They just tell you all the problems. And we all knew I was a sinner. Growing up for many years, or 20 years, I was lost. Scared of hell, scared of dying, scared of God, you know. And then I found out the gospel came to me. How Jesus Christ came into the world to save me. You know, he came and he took the punishment that I deserved. And then I remember many years ago, in 1999, in October of 1999, many years ago, in Selkirk, Manitoba, a town about half an hour this way, I was working for a construction company, and every night we were working construction, and at night we went to the hotel, we showered up, cleaned up, bought a bunch of food, pizza, chicken, whatever it was, different things. Or we go out to a restaurant sometimes. We drink it up, you know, one after another. And that was our life. Every day we did that. Drink, watch Friends, watch TV, Friends, Simpsons, all the silly shows. Every day. And laughed. Every day we did the same thing. Get drunk, eat, drink. But I was empty. I had no hope. And God was working in me. And my mom, and I told my mom, why am I here? What's the point in life? Help me, mom. You know, I don't even know what the purpose is. Because I didn't want God. My mom had earlier told me about God. My mom had earlier told me about the Lord. And I didn't want God. I want to do my own thing. You know, I want to blaze my own trail. Mom, leave that religion away. I thought it was religion. But it wasn't religion. You know, I rejected her religion. I rejected her Jesus. My mom told me about the Lord Jesus. And then when I was sick of everything, I was sick of this world and everything this world has, I said, Mom, help me. You know? And then she's like, I can help you. And she said, here, you need the Lord Jesus, Mark. Jesus can save you. He's your only hope. And she gave me tracts, and she gave me all kinds of, like, Bibles and all kinds of stuff she gave me. And in Selkirk, Manitoba, while all my friends were out there partying in that same hotel room, maybe 15 construction workers were out there partying and laughing and swearing and cursing, I was in the washroom on my knees before God. God saved me. Lord Jesus saved me. And he saved me. I went into that washroom door. I went into the door, the washroom, slammed the door shut. I was in there doing business with God. You know, really sealed. I realized, Jesus, the Ten Commandments, I read about the Ten Commandments. Mark, have you ever told a lie? Yes. Have you ever told an exaggeration? A little exaggeration? Yes. Have you ever told, maybe left back some information, didn't tell the whole truth? Have you ever done that? Yes. Have you ever done a white lie? Well, yeah, I've done that. And the law was made exceedingly sinful to me. The law, thou shalt not lie. And the next step. And the next step was brought before me. And I realized for the first time, I'm not a good person. I used to think I was a good person. I remember growing up, went to church every day. And I thought I was a pretty good guy. Those guys are always worst, you know. And I remember hearing a preacher on the radio preaching the gospel, what I'm seeing now. Way better than what I'm seeing now. A good preacher. And he was preaching about how the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We need to be born again. We need to be saved from hell. Jesus died for you. We don't need to go to hell. We can know for sure. And I remember listening to this preacher on the radio at night, because we're not allowed to have radios. Where I grew up, no radios allowed, because they're scared. The religion is scared that another religion will come in. They're scared the gospel will come in, right? So I'm listening at home at dark in the night to the preacher, and he's preached the gospel. And I remember thinking in my head, hey, preach it, preacher. Preach to those bad people out there. I remember thinking that. I'm like, preach to those atheists. Preach to those bad guys. They don't go to church. Preach to them. Preach to those sinners. That's what I used to think. You know, I thought I was good, but I was just as bad. I was a sinner. I was just like them. I was just the atheist is on this broad road. The atheist is on the broad road. And the religious person is on the broad road. I was on that broad road too. I didn't know. I thought I was a good guy. I said, God, get those atheists, or the preacher. Preach those atheists. But then I realized after I left home, I went to party with all these friends, and I drank. And, you know, and I realized, I'm a sinner. The law of God. Wow, I'm the bad guy. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. And this person in this tract I read, it says, God will have to send you to hell because of your sin. God must punish sin. He's a good judge. He's a good God. The good judge has to punish the criminal. He must punish the bad guy. If he's a bad judge, he will let the sinner go. He will let the murderer go. If somebody murders somebody and the judge says to the murderer, you're free. You can go. No jail. He's a bad judge. He's corrupt. We call those judges corrupt judges. And God is the same way. God looks down at us. He sees us with all our sin. He can't say to us, oh, you're free. All your sins, come to heaven. He can't do that. He's a good judge. He must punish the sinners. But if we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we say, Lord Jesus, save me, He on the cross died for our sins. He can take the punishment for us. He took the punishment for us on the cross. We have to accept it. He's offering us a gift of eternal life. The Bible says, for the wages, the payment for our sins is death and hell. That's what God wants. That's what God's going to pay us eventually. You know, if we, you know, He has to punish us. But it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So based on our sins, the wages, we earn death. We earn hell. God will pay us one day a check, a paycheck. That's kind of how the Bible says. In Romans 6 verse 23 it says, for the wages, the payment of our sin is hell. Death and hell. But it says, but the gift, God is saying, I know you're sinners, but I love you. Here's a gift, a free gift. And when we get a gift from somebody, it's free. We don't deserve it. A prize and a gift is different. The prize is if you run in the Olympics, 100-meter dash, you run really fast. You're the fastest guy. Boom, and you're gone. And you run outrun everybody. See you later, and you're through the finish line. And you get a big thing around your neck, and you got gold medal. That's a prize. You earned it. You were the fastest. But that's not what God, that's not how heaven, that's not how we get to heaven. I used to think that. I used to think I'll do works. I'll do good works, and God's going to give me a prize, heaven. Mark, your prize for being good, for being baptized, heaven. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. It says the wages, what we get is hell. He's not going to give us a prize at the end of our life, God. God's not. If we've not been saved, if we've not gone through the door, if we've not gone through that door, God's going to pay us, not a prize, not a gold medal, good boy, but hell. That's what the Bible says. It says the wages of sin is death and hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's got a gift for us. He wants to give us a gift. Life everlasting for free. We don't deserve it. We just say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But Lord, save me. Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. God loves us. He loves these sinners down there. The world. He loves everybody. He loves Canadians, Ukrainians, Russians, Polish people, Japanese. It says the whole world. For God so loved these sinners. He loves these bad guys. He loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his only begotten son. He gave Christ from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ says, yes, I'll go down and save him. He came from a rescue mission. He came down like a glider. He came down on a rescue mission. For God so loved the world, he didn't just love the world and leave us. Oh yeah, I love these guys down there, but you know what? I'm going to send them to hell. No, that's not how he did it. God so loved the world and he did something about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, that if anybody believes in him, it doesn't matter where you're from, what your religion is, what your background is, it doesn't matter. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you trust the Lord Jesus, you will not go to hell, the Bible says. You will not perish. For sure, that's God's word. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. He says, you shall not go to hell, guaranteed, but have everlasting life. And I just pray, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you don't know peace with God, if you don't know your sins are all forgiven, please think about eternity. Think about meeting God one day. When we can go through the door. The door is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. By me, if any man comes through me, not through the church, not through baptism, none of that stuff. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved. He says, come unto me. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us, come unto me. Come to me. Don't come to the church. Don't come to baptism. No. Come to me. Come unto me, all you, everybody. You that labor and are heavy laden and burned by your sin, and I will give you rest. I'll give your soul rest. I mean, the world, there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of fighting going on. There's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world. But the rest, we need rest in our souls from our sins. That's the most important thing. If our sins are gone, it doesn't matter what happens in the world. We're going to heaven. We're going to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray that you will study it for yourself, this message. Don't necessarily believe me. Get your Bible for yourself, study it for yourself, read it for yourself, because this is your ticket to heaven. This is your passport to heaven. If you miss this message that God has given you, you will miss out on heaven. You will be denied entry. You will not be able to get into heaven if you don't believe, if you don't read this, if you don't believe the message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save you, to save me. And Jesus loves us. Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I'm so grateful that 23 years ago, or over 20 years ago, 99, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. I became a child of God in 1999, from a sinner, from a drunk, to a child of God. Praise God, I'm still a child of God. I'll always be a child of God. I'll go to heaven for sure when I die. Not because I'm good, but because I'm forgiven. And that's amazing. It's amazing grace of God. So just may the Lord Jesus touch your heart, and may you seek for him. Seek the Lord, the Bible says, while he may be found. Call upon him. Call upon him while he is near. He's very near to you now. Once you're in hell, it's too late. Call upon him while he is near, and he will save you. So may God bless you, bless his word. Let's finish with a word of prayer.